Hi, it's Jim Bakei. This is BU, The World Will Adjust, a brutally honest podcast about people and business. So every week, I'm breaking down topics from the workplace, the job market, society, and culture to help you find success by simply being you. I release a new episode every Monday morning, so make sure you're following the podcast on your favorite app. You can also reach me on social media or by sending me an email. I always love to hear how this show is making an impact on people. Recently, I met some new people through my coaching practice, a variety of different businesses. And I've touched on this theme before, but I want to touch on it again. I had dinner with two people that were co-managing a new business, and I walked them through sort of my process. And I often say when I take on a new client and they're the business side, not the individual side, I often say to them, if this business that you just took over, you put all of your money into it, you put your kids' education money, the emergency fund, and everything else into it, how many of the people that are reporting to you would you have reporting to you? To date, having done this for many, many years, nobody's ever said more than 50% of them. And in fact, in some cases, people have said to me, none of the people. In this particular case at this dinner, these people sort of went through every single individual and they said, yeah, no, they're divisive, or they're not this, or they're not that, and they're not this, and they're not that. And they do what everybody does, which is fall to their fallback that says, but, you know, I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to work with them. And I always say, well, how long have they been that way? Maybe that's just who they are. Maybe they're unhappy in their jobs. And I said, you know, I'm not into rehabilitation. I think people that have a pattern of how they work and how they function and who they are, and they're going to make some marginal changes along the line. But you can't rehabilitate people. You can't make people be someone who they're not. And I don't know what this compulsion is amongst people and organizations to try to make someone be someone who they are not. And in most cases, when someone actually sits down with someone and says, you know, here's how I see what you're doing, and I need more of this, or I need more of that, the people are quite thankful, honestly, for the candidness and the forthrightness. And they're never in disagreement. Very few people. Some people are in denial, but the majority of people go, yeah, you know, I don't like doing that. And I don't like doing that. And I when I was talking to these people about it, I told them a story about when I ran the bond desk at Wood Gundy. The sales manager's role came up, and this guy that used to work for me, John, and last name doesn't really matter, said to me, well, you know, I'm the senior salesperson, so I would really like that job. And so I sat down with him and took out a whiteboard, as I was prone to do in those days. And I said, so this is what I'm looking for in a sales manager. I'm looking for someone who's going to be there first thing in the morning, which is 7, manage the morning meetings. I'm looking for someone that's going to be there at the end of the day, and 4 nights a week, I want you to be out to dinner with clients. And 1 weekend a month, I want you to be out with the client and their spouse. And I said, now let's look at your life as a bond salesman. I said, you rarely make the morning meeting on time. It's usually an excuse about the GO train from Oakville or somewhere being late. You have the lowest expense account of all of the salespeople in the group. And you rush out of here at 4:15 to catch the 4:27 GO train. I don't have a problem with any of that. But do you see the dichotomy of these two situations? They don't mesh. So I will consider you a candidate for this job, but you need to understand what the job is. You can't just add the job title and the money to the existing life that you have, because it won't accomplish what I want. In the end of the day, I won't pay because you're not getting it done. And he said to me, I don't want that job. He said, the only reason I wanted that job is because there's more money in it. And I said, well, you don't need to have that job to get more money. You need to be better at what you do as a salesperson do more business, do more profitable business for us, and I will pay you more. And it was almost, there was almost relief in his face, because I think everybody has this assumption, I want that next role, but they don't really understand what's actually required from that next role. And they want the role even if they don't have the skills. And they want the role even if they don't want to do the things that they should be doing. And what invariably happens, and I've seen it countless numbers of times, somebody said, oh, well, that person just didn't make it to the next level. Well, the reality is that person shouldn't have gone to the next level. And if they did go to the next level, there wasn't enough support and recognition of the fact that they didn't have all the skills. And this goes back to my fundamental theory that most organizations have a static organizational structure. The job title, the requirements for the job title, and then they try to fit everybody into that job title and requirements, as opposed to making it fluid and recognizing that Katie in that job will do it differently than Jim in that job will do it. And we should look at Katie's skills, and we should look at Jim's skills, and we should take and add responsibilities to that job that suits their skills and suits their personality. And then the last thing we should do is we shouldn't burden them with the, yeah, but don't change anybody. You know, like Bill over there has been here a long time, and Mary's been here a long time. And so, like, try to work with them. See if you can make them a little better. I've been doing this now. I think I started in the business 1973, straight out of university. So I think I wouldn't consider myself an expert, but I would consider myself knowledgeable in the ways of managing people and stuff like that. I've never seen that work. And every single time that person has said to me, I don't want that job, because they don't really understand. And it's incumbent upon the organization or the manager to get their expectations out, right? Business is very simple. It's all about people. It's all about people with the right understanding. You know, as I used to like to say, people that understand what's expected of them, how they will be compensated and evaluated for what's expected of them. Do they look around the room and say to themselves, geez, I work with a lot of really good people. It's exciting here, right? And do they truly believe that their boss has their best interest at heart? And best interest isn't just about money. Best interest is about not putting them into a position where they're going to fail. Best interest is ensuring truth and transparency about their skills. I mean, people can improve, people can go and learn, but if at the core, what you're asking someone fundamentally to do is not going to happen, are you really doing them a favor? Even if you're giving them more money, are you really doing them a favor by making them miserable? You're doing them a favor by having that pit in the center of your stomach? Because everybody knows when they're doing a shitty job. I know when I'm doing a shitty job. I know when I've had assignments and I'm just not on it. But the reality is, I know I've done a shitty job. I said to many people before, there are no bad businesses. It's only one of two things occur if the business is doing poorly. You have the wrong person in it, or you have the right person in it, but you're giving them the wrong resources and latitude and delegation to get the job. Period. It's people, 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 people. Nothing else. Strip everything away. Completely make it naked. Just ask yourself the question, is this the best person for that job? Do I need to motivate them, or are they self-motivated and probably will be even more self-motivated if they're using their best skills? If every day at the end of the day, they come out of that day and they go, God, that was such a great day. If I could just do that every day, every meeting was great. I got to utilize my skill sets, and it's just, it never ceases to amaze me. I have 20 to 40 conversations a week. And at the core of these conversations, it's the same conversation. It's the conversation from the employer and the employees who say to me, like, I really suck at this. I don't know why, but they're afraid. They're afraid to say, you know what, like this job, because there's a box. We're in that box, and everybody has been conditioned over history to have this mentality that let's take Katie and put her in this job and see how she does. We know she's deficient, but let's say she can grow into it. Well, fuck that. Why don't we put Katie into a great job that 100% of her skills are going to be accretive? How happy is Katie when we do that? She's ecstatic, right? Everybody knows when they suck at something. So take a hard look at the people that report to you. Ask yourself the question, are they in the best situation possible? Am I, the employer, utilizing their skills to the fullest amount of their ability? Or am I weighing them down with things that I know they're not going to be very good at? It's just remarkable, though, how many times people, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I get that. I get that. But they get it, but then they have their little tagline, as I lost to go. But I just wish they'd be a little different. I just wish they'd get it. And I go, they can't. They can't get it. It's like antique shopping. Just wish the table was a little higher. I wish the table was a little lower. It's perfect. No, it's not perfect. Because perfect is the right height, the right width, the right thing. That's perfect. But if it's too high, if it's too low, if it's too wide, it's too narrow, whatever it is, it's not right. So why put yourself in that position? It's hard to do. Like, make no bones about it. I know it's hard to do because it requires you to take action. It's a lot easier just to look away and go, well, they're okay, right? But okay isn't good enough. If you want to excel as an organization, it's not good enough. You have to have an honest assessment of your organization, an honest assessment of your people. And this goes back to one of my other podcasts I talked about, is if you do that, then you can have an honest assessment about succession planning. Then you can have an honest succession planning discussion that says, does this person have the capabilities and the skills that we're looking for? And can we take their best qualities and enhance them? Not take their worst qualities and see if we can take them from 2 to 3. Taking someone from 7 to 9 is way more valuable. It's more humane. It's more just in dealing with people. One of the other things that I've been talking a lot to people about along this line is that whole willingness to stand up for yourself, right? And in this discussion, it's not just a one-way discussion. It should be led by the employer, but you need to lead it as well. And you need to take a real full reflection and say, okay, what are my best skills? And what am I filling for that I don't have? And so everybody has this tendency to end up hiring people that are more like themselves. Oh, I love that guy, or I love that woman. You know, I love that person, right? They're just like me and everything else. But to have that critical eye, to be able to say, yeah, I don't need more of me. I need someone less of me. It's like this podcast. I need Katie. I wasn't getting from Katie what I wanted, and it's not just producing the podcast. It's the ideas. It's all of those things. We're in complete synchronicity together. She feeds me. I feed her. We care about each other. And I never sort of go, oh, God, I got to look at Katie again today, you know, or I don't come away angry about anything because the lens at which I look, even when there's a mistake, my part, her part, it's kind of like, yeah, it's okay. Let's move on, you know, type of thing. And it creates for harmonious relationships. And when you spend as much time in the day with people as you do, you better have harmonious relationships and people better feel really good about what they're doing. So take the time, look at that person across from you. A, if it was your business, would you have them working for you? If you had all your money in it? Probably the answer is no. So then what are you going to do about it? I know what you'd do if it was your own business. You wouldn't suffer. You wouldn't spend all your time doing their work for them. you would do something about it. You say, this is just not working, right? This is not working. You don't have what I need. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I hired the wrong person for the job that I needed done, right? You don't hire a plumber for electrical work, right? You don't hire an electrician to be your architect in your house. So why is it any different in all of these jobs and all of these roles? And the hardest thing to do for me anyways, is people talk about people are the most important thing in our business. But if you do a time study analysis, how much time do you actually spend on those people? How much time do you actually spend sitting back and asking yourself the question, hey, let's put up all my people on the board and I'm going to go right through them all and I'm going to see who's in the right job, who's in the wrong job, whose skills am I not utilizing? The reality is it's a toss away line. It's a toss away line. But the great companies start in the middle and finish with understanding their people and making sure they're in the right spot, doing the right things to enhance their chances of success. I know it'll fall on deaf ears. People will go, yeah, I hear you, I know, but you know, I've got so many other things I gotta do. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. When a sports team puts a team on the field, you think they worry about anything else? No. Who's the best person for that spot? They're going to make mistakes. They're going to put the wrong guy on the line or the wrong person as a halfback or pick the wrong quarterback. Sure, you're going to make mistakes. But that's their number one objective, is to field the best team. And there's lots of complexity to fielding the best team. But at the core, it's utilizing people's skills. So do me one favor. Take a time out. Do a serious analysis of the people in your organization and ask yourself the question, carte blanche, create a new organization, put all the skills that you need in it. How many of those people will make it? If it's over 20%, call me and I'll buy you dinner, because it's not going to be over 20%. I'm talking about the people that you have little complaints about, not trying to change, not trying to make them be somebody else. And once you've done that, then at least you'll have a starting point to know what the work ahead of you takes to get that team built. So I wanted to touch on one of the true maniacs and brilliant people in the world, Elon Musk. You know, I love guys like him on one side because I think they're brilliant and they're crazy. You have to be crazy to be brilliant. You have to be brilliant to be crazy. But on the other side of the coin, you know, the problem with people like that is they're just so self-absorbed with themselves. And I saw that recent article. I don't know how you could miss it. There were like 10 million posts of it. But him telling the people at his company, show up at work in the office or you're going to be fired. And I thought, like, seriously? That's kind of like a fuck you, my way or the highway. And you know what? That's his right. He's entitled to be like that. But I wish I could coach those people and say to them, you should go to them collectively and say, no, you know what? Fuck you. 50 of us aren't coming back and we're going to quit. Where is he going to get 50 people? Where is he going to get 100 people? Got to wake up to the fact that the power has shifted. The power has shifted to the employees. The power has shifted. Even I was just at the cottage earlier in the week, and one of the local guys was telling me that they can't get workers because they're paying $17 an hour and someone's paying $24 an hour. And this is going on all over the place, right? It's not just a great resignation. It's a great net resignation for better opportunities. So let's have a little change of attitude here from the corporation side and sort of maybe, novel idea, say to them, well, what's the perfect situation for you? You know what I need. I need production. I need productivity. What do you want to do for me to get the maximum amount of that productivity? And one end of the spectrum is be in the office all the time, which I think is horseshit. because I think people's productivity at the office between lunch, breakfast, coffee break, smoke break, chat with their coworkers, and the other end of the spectrum, which is completely be at home. It's got to be somewhere along the line. And it can't be the same for everybody, just like every organization is not the same, right? And so what that some want to be in all the time and some don't want to be in all the time, and there's some people that want to be in the middle. Surely to God, we can find some flexibility to sort of make it work for everybody. It's not an all or none. They're not dictating. You're not dictating. We're in a world where things are happening that we've never seen before. And if we go with this dogma that this is how it is, we're going to lose people. People are going to leave because people finally have an opportunity to say, I have a say in how my life's going to get better. I was out for breakfast with someone this morning. He runs a brokerage thing around the world. And he was talking about, you know, brokers, financial advisors. They don't need to be in an office. They just talk to their clients. They put their orders in through the computer. And then I said to him, how many people have left the country? And he said, well, not many, but I bet you more and more will start leaving the country. Because if you're a broker, you live anywhere. And isn't that the beauty of the world that we're living in now? That kind of flexibility, that kind of ability to say, hey, I'm going to live in Barbados and, you know, I'm an empty nester and take my kids. I'm going to go to Switzerland or, you know, I'm going to go other time zone, same time zone. We should be looking at this like, what a great liberation. What a great liberation of the masses. I understand the guy on the line putting the four bolts in a GM has to be at GM. Well, at least until GM figures out how to get a machine to do it, and then they don't need them anymore and they discard them to the side of the road. But in the positions, like, ask yourself, do they really need to be at the office? Or is that you? Is that what you want? Because we have to be sensitive to what people want. We have to be sensitive to people that want a different life, but can be productive and still live in that new paradigm of what we're looking at. And the future is completely unknown. But the one thing that is known is we're never going back to Kansas. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. The world is fundamentally changed, probably as big as the Industrial Revolution, as big as the end of the Second World War. You talk to people, you talk about what their kids are doing. Kids are doing stuff that wasn't even on the radar screen before. One of my friends' sons got 1.5 million viewers on TikTok. Makes $150,000 on TikTok. Now, you could sort of say, well, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. But it's reality. The Kardashians are making $25 million for basically filming their lives. Who knows what opportunities lie for people? We should never presume to know everything to be able to tell people, oh, no, you should do this. You know, you should go over there. You should do this. Nobody knows. And we don't know what we don't know as parents. Just like our parents didn't know what they didn't know. Just like their parents didn't know what they didn't know. And so we need to be open-minded about work. We need to be open-minded about life. We need to be open-minded about people's right to choose and to be happy. I'm Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You. The world will adjust. I promise you that.